Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At, and this is episode 122. I bring you another special guest, the mighty, mighty Ansley Jukebox Joy, a fellow capoeirista and a fellow Next Level alumni. And we're going to talk about capoeira and why we don't see a lot of women in capoeira. I hope you enjoy this episode and please take notes. Check it out. Killer Tape At, B. Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At. And I have a dope guest that I really, it's my fault. I was trying to get around before, but it's completely my fault. It wasn't like she was avoiding me. I was the one that was lollygagging the entire time. So if everybody put their hands together for the wonderful and very talented Jukebox, aka Ansley. We're gonna call her Ansley. She's a MC, she's a dancer, a capoeirista, a historian, an instructor. She's pretty much all that. Pretty much everything I want to be when I grow up. So, but we're going to bring her here specifically to talk about capoeira. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? It's so great to be here.
I'm dope. I'm really dope. So, the spring is finally here. I live in Ohio, so it usually stays cold for a very long time.
Oh, really?
So we have way more colder months than winter months. So it takes forever to get warm. So when it's like, it'll get warm for like a couple days, and then like the next day it'll be freezing again. You got to put the heat on. And you do like, bruh, yeah. So, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad the weather's changing. Mm-hmm. Got the windows open.
Chewing the all. Oh,
I might be dying inside a little bit, to be honest.
I hear you.
I haven't gone anywhere for a year or done anything. Oh.
And I just want to let the audience know that we've never actually met in person. I learned about you through Next Level, because you're like myself, you're a Next Level alumni. I still haven't discussed that with my audience. So maybe one day I will. So that's how we met. I know you're into dance. I want to kind of get into that a little bit before we get into capoeira. How did you get involved with dancing, and what style did you begin with at first?
I started dancing to deal with pain I was dealing with at home. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I would just like push the furniture in front of the door and dance. That's my main thing that would happen. So it was hip hop. Most everything was hip hop in the beginning, with sprinkles of Black history every now and then. But for the most part, growing up, that was what I used to manage my pain. So I danced all the time. I started dancing when I was like 8. Mm-hmm. I did have classes before then that were like ballet, but I don't think anybody remembers that stuff. So yeah, so I did hip hop all the way up until I went to college, and college was in 2004, 2005.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
That's cool. That's mm-hmm. And I know for a lot of us, dancing, the cypher was always a safer space for a lot of us, particularly, you know, those of us that grew up, you know, in the quote unquote hood. You know, mm-hmm. I know for me, speaking from my experience, dancing was always a safer space than everything else that was going on around me.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that. So, but I know you do it all, because you B-girl, you know what I'm saying? You lock and everything. You do it all. Like, what made you decide to do it all? Like,
I think it's just, it was all of an unconscious thing of just trying to deal with pain. Mm-hmm. the learning just always eased my mind. So when I danced, you know, it was just about freeing myself. And then I had to learn different ways of moving, because I felt like the more ways I learned how to move in space, the more I could lose myself.
Gotcha.
And that was really the goal, you know, kind of spiritually.
Gotcha.
I just find it fun to learn different movement.
I know, because I'm an older cat, so we were very like segregated when it came to like dancing. So like I was a b-boy, and I got into house dancing like because there wasn't a lot of places that were doing b-boying anymore. So I got into house music, and then I came back. Yeah, then I came back into b-boy. You know, we were very segregated. Like, it's not until I got older where I was like, oh, I want to try. You know, don't get me wrong. Growing up in New York City, we did salsa, merengue, bachata. We did all that because that's what we came up in. But we were very like segregated in what we did. It wasn't until later on where we was like open to all of that. So we're gonna get into capoeira. How did you get into capoeira?
It was one day after class. My teacher was like, "Hey, you should come to this capoeira class with me." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So I went. It was like at 5 o'clock at SCAD in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah. And that professor was Sabia. And and then I just never stopped. Mm-hmm. I changed teachers a lot. But for the most part, that's when I started. And that was in 2005, like January. We started their first semester. You know how the like semester classes start? And they'd be like, yeah.
Oh, so it was a class I was taught at the college?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the dude actually, I don't think the dude actually went there. I think just taught there.
Okay.
Like in their gym, because their gym was like separated from the college. Like, he wasn't like on their roll. He was like their, I don't know how they do it, but he wasn't like an official person. And then we found out that he wasn't even like, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
He wasn't even certified to the extent that he said he was. He didn't have the cords like at all.
Oh wow.
I mean, it's not to say that he wasn't a good capoeirista, but a lot of times you see the difference in how they teach, the immaturity level and the things they think and say. Yeah. And that's when I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So yeah.
I hear you. No, and you know, it's funny because and I'm assuming that was around when you was in college, right?
Because
back then there was a lot of people that was faking moves. Like that? No, I'm being serious. There was a lot of because you know the internet wasn't that like big at the time, so anybody could say, "Oh, you know, I trained with Mestre so and so. I'm under Mestre so and so," and there really was no way for you to like do the math on that. You know what I'm saying? Unless they actually brought the Mestre to town or whatever. But a lot of people was doing that, and you know, especially in like smaller cities, a lot of people were doing that back then. I remember that very vividly back then. That your lineage was important. And the way I know that is because I was part of a school, and then me and a bunch of guys started our own school, and we used to collab with different schools and bring different, you know, professors and messes to do workshops. So like, and there was a lot of people that would fake the funk. Like, I know that. So again, I have to ask, I got to be clear. Was it because I know like, around the country, there are very few like accredited capoeira classes in colleges. Is what I mean. Like, you know how you have like a physical ed elective.
You know, yeah, what I mean? He just lied.
So was it an elective or it was just a class? Just a regular class.
I think it was a regular class.
Okay.
No papers, writing, no papers or nothing.
All right, you know, got you.
And anybody could join because I went to Savannah State. I didn't go to SCAD.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? We just kind of came over from, and my teacher, I don't know, always get cool with my teachers.
Yeah.
And we went to class together all the time. So, well, at least like two or three times. And then after that, she was like, "I can't come."
Yeah, capoeira is tough to, any martial art is tough to commit to. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it was really more about the teacher. She wasn't feeling the teacher. He was rude. Wow. You know what I'm saying? He was rude and very disgusting towards women.
Wow.
So
wow.
She wasn't feeling it, but he hadn't tried me yet, and I hadn't really wasn't really paying attention.
Gotcha.
So I was like, wait a minute, and then he broke that girl's arm.
We'll get into that.
Day in class, like her first day ever even hearing about the thing, coming and trying, broke the woman's arm.
Wow.
That girl was crying so damn hard,
too.
Yeah.
Somebody broke my arm. Shoot,
yeah. I'm just saying, you know, and then, like, after the last, he was like, well, that's what you get when you don't follow the rules. I was like, god damn, this is going to be my last class. Wow.
Yeah, that's harsh. Yeah. That's really, like, that's harsh. That's like, you hear stories about that. Like, you know, you hear, like, rumors, you know what I'm saying? But you don't really. I've seen some wild stuff, you know what I'm saying? But never nothing to that extreme. Like, wow.
Yeah, I seen some crazy stuff.
So,
been through some crazy stuff. So, I was like, "Oh yeah, no." And even when you do that, it's almost like it's almost not like people. I've seen a lot of people try to make an excuse that they love the art form more than they love the behavior of the teacher. But I'm like, yo, at some point, like people who abuse, they're not gonna stop.
Yeah,
so,
it's,
you know.
And you know what's wild? It's something that's, and I'm not trying to make any excuses. It's something endemic to martial arts, period. Because I've seen it in other. It's a martial arts thing where we feel like everyone feels like it's a ridiculous idea, but we come with this idea that tough equals abusive, and it shouldn't like tough should be. You know, well, this is a hard movement, but you got to learn it. You got to learn it. And I'm going to let you you're not going to leave until you learn it. You know what I'm saying? Not if you don't learn it, I'm going to kick you upside your head. Like, but we think that kind of tough is good, but we're going to get into that. What do you love most about capoeira?
I love the movement. I don't know. It's really hard. I love that it's an all encompassing art form. You know what I mean? That you sing, you learn a language, you learn instruments, and that's really honestly what pulled me is that you do all these different things at one time, rather than, you know what I mean, a certain part I hate or a certain part I don't like as much. It's more like, because I get to sing. And in some cases, like our maestro, this is Maestro Tarzan, but he got deported.
Oh, wow.
During that time. Yeah, it was, that's when our group went downhill, to be honest. But anyways, he would teach us all these different rhythms and sounds we had never heard of, which I'm sure all maestros could do that. But it was just really special because they were like rapish, and he was doing it because he knew that we were, you know? Because he knew about hip hop and you know, we would always have like these concerts where we would combine, you know, the next performance is capoeira, the next performance is West African dance, you know, stuff like that. So they got to see like stuff like that, and he liked, you know, merge and then write songs, and it was dope.
That's dope. That sounds dope.
But
so it seems like with West African, it seems like it was very communal.
And he didn't speak English, so he didn't give a damn that you didn't speak Portuguese. Like, he was still talking to you.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, it was great and hilarious. And
because it seems communal, because that's really what, you know, on top of like the music and the culture, for me, it was, you know, from my experience, it was just that it was very communal. You know, and that's something that absolutely. I really try to embody that with my students. Community and sharing, and you know, sharing energy and stuff like that. And I know for a lot of people it sounds new agey, but you know, that's something that a lot of people tell me they like the community being together, and you know so so then we're gonna get into my next question. In your opinion, what are the healthy aspects of the capoeira community? If you haven't, you could be honest, you know, and again, you know, like we, you know, it's about, to me, it's about experience, and, you know, one person can experience one thing, and, you know, and then don't get me wrong. There's also privilege. There's also male privilege. And there are some things that when I was first starting into capoeira, I ignored because of my male privilege, and I'm not making any excuses, but there was things that happened that I was like, you tripping, and it's because I was a man. And we're gonna get into the sexism in a little bit, but were there any healthy aspects of the capoeira community, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's always nice to come together and learn with other people. I think that fosters growth as a community in the best, in the like quickest way. If you're thinking about trying to get to a goal, it's always nice when a bunch of people get together and they sing, and it opens people up. I think I still have a capoeira student right now who he's very Trumpy.
He's MAGA.
I believe so, because he's real military. He's real military, and it's just I noticed. I also haven't been doing a deep. I mean, he was there when I did the history and everything. You know what I'm saying? They ain't really saying nothing. And I don't really try to spark flames either, but I think it's cool that he still contacts me, even though I told them I'm not teaching until the pandemic is just not, but until it's over. But in my area, at least, or at least I get vaccinated, and he's like, okay, but he's still, you know what I mean? At least once a month checks in, and that connection is, I think that's beautiful, even though I know it could easily disrupt. Yeah. I think it's still beautiful because there's always that chance of learning and growing.
Oh, you're right.
So
here's where the meat of this episode is going to be at. Why do you think there aren't many women in capoeira? You could take your time with this one. You can go on and on. You know what I mean? And there's a reason why, because I'm taking notes. You know what I'm saying? And I want my listeners to take notes, you know, because there are some people that teach capoeira that listen to my show. I want everybody to take notes because of our male privilege, we always ignore or don't pay attention to the signs where our women feel unsafe in the hoda. Hoda is a circle in the capoeira. But go ahead.
I think it's because of discrimination and historic discrimination it makes sense because it's still here, you know, but I remember the last time I was involved, it was in 2011, Maestro Pinga Fogo had a women's encounter, his first women's encounter in Connecticut, and I went there with my maestro, and that's actually when I came forward to them about because he had a whole session where it was women capoeiristas, women teachers from around the U.S. and the globe. And when we had this talk on women in capoeira, Maestro Marisa was just telling us about how, you know, when you get in the hoda, how women are cut off all the time because people don't want to see women play, or when women are singing, men always cut women off while they're singing with their voices because they don't like their voices, or saying their voices are, you know, saying discriminatory things about the tone or how strong their voices are, you know, how they sing or how they play. They never get to play the beating bow. So if you don't get those opportunities, you also stop learning, because that's how you learn, is by playing in the hoda. So if somebody's always blocking your chance to go in and even get the experience, then you're going to see less women just in general, because you're not able to move up in the, you know, the different ranks there are in different groups. You're not able to get the same experiences. So how can you grow to even get a new chord if, you know, you always have to fight to even have a space in the hoda? And that happens a lot. And then if teachers don't check that, then the discrimination becomes rampant, because, you know, very quickly it can become like two or three players who just haven't developed their sense of sharing. That happens a lot, you know, where people don't know how to share and how to share the hoda, and that you know, we're all supposed to be into what's happening in the center and not what the next game is supposed to be. You're supposed to be in the moment, you know. So there were things like that, but there's also a lot of sexual violence. A lot of teachers and maestres, for me it was my contra maestre, who will sexually assault you or things like that, and that makes it an unsafe space. So if women don't come around for that, then that would be the reason why you won't see any women in your, I mean, you can pay attention, I think, in individual communities and recognize the signs. This is April of Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so just wanted to say that because that's important. There are some lots of resources like on RAINN.org, RAINN.org, where you can find, you know, common textbook signs of people who abuse and the behavior of people who are abused in group settings and things like that. And you'll see a lot of situations will be clearer. I think a lot of times people are just like, why aren't women? Well, just open your eyes and pay attention to people's patterns and movements and how they address and regard women. And that will show you why women are not there, or either women are there and just not moving up in the ranks. Because in our, I know in ours, there was like, our ministry was assaulting almost every woman that came. And there was only one woman that, and it didn't even just end with women. What it did is like, he didn't want to see men either. So he was really nasty, mean, and violent, you know, breaking and bruising men just for no reason. And then, you know, women would get lighter treatment, but also only if you, you know, consented to the advances, because there were a lot of people that got their ankles broken and things like that. I've seen, you know, but that's just an overall dangerous person, you know. I think that's the push here. It's like, you know, overall danger. It's not just this thing you do to women. It hurts everybody. It hurts the entire community.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So that ended up, that group kind of fell apart, and they're all dispersed really now, but it still doesn't really undo, you know, that pain that he caused so many different people there. But I think, and it's a historic legacy kind of thing, where a lot of women weren't allowed, just from just attitudes of, you're a woman, you shouldn't be doing this, because we don't think you should be doing it. It's that simple. So, you know, trying to maybe deconstruct and that idea of women in capoeira would help, I think, to alleviate discrimination.
No, you're right.
And
you're
just
right.
Listening.
No, and I'm glad you pointed out a lot of these things, because you're right. It is historical. And, you know, a lot of it is privilege. A lot of it's not paying attention to signs. But also what I've learned is that from my experience, what I've learned is that your whole that represents your greater community. Right. So wherever you at, your whole that represents the community you're in. And if that's going on outside of the holdout in that community, it's going to happen in the holdout, right? So if you have the best example I can give is if you have somebody in your class that's just an asshole, just a general asshole, that is gonna, he's probably an asshole everywhere he goes. It's gonna show up in the holdout. It's gonna show up in the holdout. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you're like, oh wow, like I feel this person's whatever negativity this person brings. I feel it when we in the holdout. You know what I'm saying? And so if somebody is a predator, is, you know, the thing that the reason why I keep saying privilege is because sometimes we take like somebody who's a predator as, well, that's just a style of play. He plays very aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Instead of us saying, like you said, let's deconstruct that. Why do you play so aggressive? Like, why are you always trying to like one up somebody? Because there's some people that come in there and they try to harm people. And you'd be like, why are you always trying to harm people? You know, and instead, instead of doing that, we take it as, I've seen messages who shut that down, who said, nah, you're not doing that in here. But most of the time I see messages a lot in the holdout, you know, and again, because of martial arts, we think that that's how you're supposed to be, you know, and that that's going to make better suited. But again, going back to what I said earlier, when we allow that to happen, we want to let, like, for example, a woman could be, people could contribute what they can to the holdout. It may not have to be in movements. It could be in music. It could be in ideas. It could be in, oh, you know, I know a better space we can train at. Like, and when you remove people like that, you lose those resources. So yeah, you're right. It affects the entire holdout. It makes the holdout less better for everybody if you allow that in that space. But what I've really also noticed, times the assaults happen, you know, outside of class. And what I'm guilty of, what I realized is that I was guilty of not making my students feel safe enough to tell me, you know, because even though it's the community's holdout, it is my holdout. I run the holdout. So if my students don't feel safe to say, hey, you know, Travazo, so-and-so, I went on a date with so-and-so and he did this to me. You know, if I don't make that person feel that safe, then I'm a problem as well. Like, you know, like I need to learn how to make my whole that feel safe. So when that does happen, my students could say, this happened to me with this person, and then we could deal with it. So, and I don't think that because it's so, there's a lot of toxic masculinity, it doesn't allow for that, you know. It doesn't allow for that. And it's unfortunate that it took me a long time to realize that, you know.
So. Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, so what else do you think? And you know, when we talk about the historical, I know in Mestiraco Jones' book, he talked about how when he took his students back to Brazil, he brought a lot of women in his from his class. When he taught in San Francisco, and a lot of the Brazilians weren't happy that he brought all these women to the Roda. Yeah, he talked about that in his book.
Oh, wow.
And that's, you know, so you don't really start seeing women come into the Roda prominently until the 1970s. So, but it wasn't a lot. It was just one or two here and there. So, and then I know I've talked to many messes about this. You know, we've debated it because I know that with capoeira is very political. It's not like, say, for example, karate, where your teacher will say, oh, I think you're ready for the next test, and you got to pay for that test, and then you got to take that test. In capoeira, they don't tell you when you're going to get promoted. You know what I'm saying? They don't say, hey, you're going to get promoted or get, you know, pay for this test. What happens is you go to a bachisado, an encounter, and they say, hey, we're about to promote you. So promotions and who's in charge is very, very arbitrary. So messes have told me that, like, well, you know, it's just very political. And I'm like, nah, there's some discrimination in there. There's some, because you can, since it's so arbitrary, you could elevate who you want to elevate and you could not promote people who you don't want to promote, you know? So,
Yeah.
So that's been a debate. And I'm like that. I said, I could see that. I could see that being an issue with, well, we don't like Americans to be messages, but we should see more women and more, you know, as profesoras and instructoras, and you guys have the power to do that. You know, but they, again, because of discrimination, they don't, you know.
Yeah.
But I do also want to talk about how I noticed, and this has to do with body image and body positivity. When you do see women in capoeira, it's, they literally all shape the same way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed. They're athletic. They're always athletic. You don't see, like, you know, with men, you see different body types. With the women, you only see one body type. That's one thing I noticed as well. I could, on my fingers, I could count how many women in capoeira who are not the average body type we see in capoeira. That's one thing I do notice. And I think a lot of it is, you know, body shaming and not having your classes open to people of different body types.
Yeah, it could, you know, even body types, people move differently. So the teacher isn't conducive to people who don't move that quickly. You know, that doesn't help. You know, so in that sense, it's about are you trying to teach everyone, or are you just trying to make a bunch of you's or some shit? It's like, that's my thing about capoeira at this point, is like, who is mature enough to teach this art form without discrimination? I mean,
no, you're right.
There's layers to that, regardless who comes.
You know. And it's just like, it's not just discriminating against one group of people. It's like discriminating against a lot of different people, you know? So, but that's one thing, because, you know, people have asked me that. People will say, hey, do you think I'll be able to train capoeira? And I'm like, why would you think not? And they go, I look this way. And I'm like, that doesn't mean anything, you know, just show up for class. We'll get you there, where we'll get you to train, like, you know. And I get a lot of questions from women about that.
Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot in lots of art forms, I think, because it's like they see the end result and not what an actual class looks like. So they just see somebody flipping on Tekken and they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do all that. I've heard you say that too, because I think most of the people that come to my class are men, you know, and they are they still are surprised about how it can be broken down so that anybody can
let me
understand,
ask you this question.
You know
let
what
me
I'm
ask
saying?
Because, you know, I always ask people, how can I get more women involved in my classes? And I haven't tried this yet, but a lot of people have said, well, just do women only classes. You know, and I've been, you know, I've been like,
that's a good
I've been like considering it, you know, not, you know, like, I don't know, you know, I know I'm more comfortable with my, because, you know, you get comfortable with the class that you're in and you're like, I don't want to start a new class. But people have to, people have to say, you might maybe consider doing an all women's class where women will feel safer. And then later on, you know, intermingling with your other, with your regular class. I don't know. How would you feel about that? Like, do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea for, as an because I'm always thinking as instructors, we should be learning. We're not, you know what I mean, overlords who aren't learning anything. When you teach a class with all women, you're going to learn a different energy and see a different dynamic. It doesn't mean you won't have bad actors or anything. It just means that you're seeing what it means to create a safe space for women, and for you to see that dynamic and then see the dynamic of regular class, you might then be able to see, I see how that's unsafe.
I did not.
You know what I mean? Or how like a man will come up and just grab you, you know what I mean? And put their hands on you, when that may not happen at all in a in an all women's space. And if it does, usually those people stand out regardless of whatever hoda they're in my opinion, you know, who, male or female, they're going to stand out because the behavior just is not normal. Well, you know, you can tell when someone's touchy-feely, you know what I'm saying? Like, not just touchy-feely with women. That, you know what I mean? There are people who are touchy-feely with everyone. But there are, you know, predators who are, just attacking women. And so you can see that much easier when you do classes to see the difference. To take away, let me see what this happened.
Thanks for that. I didn't even think about it from that perspective. But,
think about it from like, what can I learn from this situation rather than, I don't really want to do that. So, I mean, you want to think like, how can I make a safe space? Well, let me just try it out. I mean, you don't have to keep it. You know what I'm saying? You could just see how it, and if you're getting feedback from your students, they're saying, this is really enhancing my life, or I've really learned a lot more here than I have in another class, then you'll be like, okay, now I can make my decision of whether I think this is beneficial to me and then beneficial to them.
Gotcha.
You know, you'll get some feedback.
Gotcha. No, I appreciate that. I think you're the tipping point. I'm going to go ahead and do it. You know, because people are like, you should just do it. And I was just like, you know, but okay. Thanks for that. And there you go. I know that
question wasn't
on the
list. You know what I'm saying? You
know, so.
It don't matter. I'd be like, hey, you know what I'm saying?
True, D.
Because it's
so
about
it kind of leads
people,
into my next question. You kind of already started touching on it. What can instructors and students do to make Apoera safer for women?
I think just learn the signs of sexual assault and violence. And really, you don't even have to do all that. You can do just basic control, whether someone's controlling or not. I know one thing that happened in our group is that the cultural maestri used to take the whole time of everybody. I mean, you pay whatever you paid a month, but he would require you to train with him, you know, 5 days a week.
Oh, wow.
For 3 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about working people or whatever. And then on the weekends, he would invite everybody to go out to ice cream. And then, you know, after that, in the parking lot, if he felt like having a hoda, then you have to participate. You know what I mean? He end up taking don't go to all, you don't have to. And then you hear people say they have to, it doesn't sound right, because we're all grown people supposed to be enjoying something that we love, right? Not feeling like, oh shit, I gotta go to the pizza parlor with this man today because he said so. And that happened a lot. Like, I just noticed, like, your maestri should not be
your
7 days
should
a week
be should not
life.
Be your dad, you know what I mean?
I mean, like, if there's some...
I agree
yeah, it was so weird. It's just like, that's unhealthy for anybody. No one thing should take up that much of your time, unless, you know what I mean, if you're a professional football player, that, you know, but this is not something that you can be, quote professionalized, it is, but I mean in our own way, but in certain ways it's like this, you're not getting paid, you know what I mean, to go there. You're not even getting promoted the way you should be by doing all this training. And it was really him just abusing people, just like making them do all stuff that they couldn't do after an hour or so. And a lot of people got hurt. You know, a lot of people got injuries. So, you know, you just, I think it's just important to pay attention to the atmosphere of the group. You know, speaking about finding a safe space, that's capoeira, you know, is paying attention to those dynamics in the group and how the teacher handles those types of situations. Because it really be all on the teacher. Like, I promise some of the people, like, that girl's arm wouldn't have gotten broken if, I mean, because the teacher himself broke her arm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, you know, a rowdy student in class, but then there were tons of students that began to let just let that behavior loose, you know?
No, you're right. You're right. Like, wow. It's like any classroom, the teacher sets the tone. You know? Like, the teacher sets the tone by, you know, embodying whatever they want to teach. And then, like, the students take their cues. So, like, you're right. You're exactly, that's like in any classroom. Yep.
Yeah. I really think it's up to the leaders, because when I think about all the unsafe spaces I've been, it's always been the teachers who were unsafe. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, I'm like, yo, how did you get up this high and be this unsafe? And I told my my counselor maester had an attempted rape on me. And I told my my maestro, Tarzan, when he was in, I mean, because we're friends on Facebook. He asked me if I was sure. I was expecting that type of response. And I was like, yes, I am. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Broad daylight in a judo studio. Wow. So let's not, you know what I'm saying? And then that was, it was talk that weekend, like, I'll promote you to instructor, you know, and you'll get all these different promotions. And I can see you as a maestro and all this stuff. You know, just lying, future faking. Because of, you know, to see if the sexual advances were going to go through. And I, you know, I had that firsthand, and that's when I quit or whatever. But I told my maestro, because I felt like, how would he know this is happening if nobody tells him? And I'm sure nobody told him, you know what I'm saying? And so I let him know, and I don't know what's happening with it, but I just wanted to speak my piece because it was painful. And, you know, but at the same time, it made me stop capoeira. And I just know Maestra Marisa and Mr. Pingafogo told me separately, like, you have enough training to continue training and teach if you want to. We'll always be a part of, you know what I'm saying, what you do. I was like, wow, thanks. You know what I'm saying? For real. Because they stripped off the whole layer of the institution of capoeira. You know what I'm saying? Like, Maestro Bimba didn't, it wasn't this and that before teaching, 1940. You know, people were teaching who they were teaching in jeans, in whatever they worked in. And they, you know, she was just saying, you know, you don't have to follow all those rules. And wherever you go, we know you know the, you know what I'm saying? She was just saying, I will come and train your students. I will come and train you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's always been love ever since then. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thinking, like, when I pay attention, when I took their classes, it was order. It doesn't mean you didn't have those people being crazy, but they definitely act different in a professional class. So they just don't go. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that, when I think about, if that teacher wasn't there, they probably wouldn't do capoeira at all. Because they wouldn't be allowed to act violently and crazy the way they were acting. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, like you said, it's
and again, real, and going back to what I said earlier, like, there's this idea that, and I talked to instructors from different martial arts, you know, where there's this idea that the instructor is, you know, for lack of a better word, God, and they whatever they say is final. And it's like, nah, that's not like that. If people are being abused, you know, that needs to be fixed. That needs to be, people need to be held accountable, you know, and that doesn't mean you take advantage of students because they look up to you. Like, when you're an instructor, people look up to you. I hate the fact, I'm not gonna lie, I hate the fact that, like, Now, let me take that back. Not that I hate the fact, it's just that they, my, what I say weighs heavy in their lives. So if they ask me something about, you know, should this be my major in college or not? I'm very careful with my answer because that's something that's going to change their life. But we grow up thinking that these martial arts instructors are the end all be all. So we let them get away with a lot of shit. And we let them get away with a lot of stuff. And we let them say things that are dead wrong. Wow. And I've seen it. I'm like, I seen it, and again, as if I was, my younger self would have been like, well, he's supposed to kick me on my head when I'm laying down. You know what I'm saying? But as I got older, I'm like, no, you don't do that. Wow. That's not how you train people. You know what I'm saying? That's not how you train people. Like, you don't abuse them. And there's some people that they take that, and if they're predators in their regular life, they're gonna be predators in a classroom. But we feel like, well, he's a master. He's a master, a grandmaster. We feel like, okay, we should let that slide. But the culture allows some people to move up in the ranks. And we need to really like check that across the board, you know? So I agree with you 100%. And yeah, definitely.
Right. And just to say, I just want to say violence is not a teaching style. I think a lot of people think it is. I look at
coming up, we thought that was okay. Like, we thought that violence was the answer. We thought that this is what made you strong, that you were violent. We grew up thinking that. And, you know, we watch movies and we look at it the same way. We'd be like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, we're supposed to kick ass. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to take names, you know. You know, you're a tough guy. That's what makes you a man. And you know, part of that toxic masculinity, all of that is ingrained in all of this. And we accept it as, that's just how it is, you know. And it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that in the future we can, you know, have some more, you know, just more teaching and just more experiences with different teachers, you know, to help you feel more safe. Because, I mean, like you're saying, it doesn't sound like a safe space for anybody, to be honest. It's hard to see people sit there and feel bad about themselves just because they didn't get some flip today or something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, what happened to people encouraging people? And I think when we find teachers like that, like I'll say their names again, Mr. Mariza and Mr. Pingafogu. He's in Texas now, I think. And Mr. Mariza is in Chicago. But just when you find safe teachers like that, for example, much more you learn and how much happier you are.
Yeah.
It really is like you want to find a good relationship with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a mentor, because that's really technically what they are. It's about
community. And I kind of like, I really want people to feel the same way I feel when I'm, you know, when I'm playing in training capoeira or I'm in a whole dive playing around like that. I want people to have, you know, I want my students to get that same sense of community. And I want them to be like, I want to create this, you know, in other places, not just in capoeira, but just wherever I go, I want to help create and foster that community in other places. And that's what I want. That's, you know, I don't, you know, okay, if you become a maestre, then I'm still happy. But my hope, my hope is that you say, you know, I want to be a better person and I want to help create those safer spaces in other places that I'm at outside of the whole lot. You know, but we can't do that if we got people in here that if I allow abusers in my holdout, I can't do that. I can't teach that. You know, we can't teach that. So it's kind of like, and I know for some people, that sounds very new agey or grandiose. And I'm like, nah, because for me, my experience, dancing and all of that, capoeira, all of that, it allowed me to, I felt safer in those spaces, you know, and I want other people to feel safe in those spaces as well, especially if I'm in it, you know. So, yeah. And you said something that really touched me. You said, like,
that's one reason.
There are times when there's somebody that comes to capoeira class that you're like, oh, this person is really cool. I like this person. And then they stop coming. And half the time it's because of something that happened in class. The other half is usually, oh, I can't afford it no more. Or I got a new job and my schedule. Or I had a kid. But half the time it's like, nah, something happened and I don't want to talk about it. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, and you're like, you know, but yeah, that's usually 50% of the time. That's what happens. And I'm pretty sure that happens in other martial art communities as well, where somebody used to come around that was really cool and then something happened and they didn't feel safe anymore and they don't come back, you know? You know, so Yep.
Yeah.
And you did say that April is what? What is it? What we're doing in April?
April is sexual assault awareness. And I am going to post
that website because I do use the resources on that website for information. RAIN.org. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And there's another one, NSVRC. Okay.
SVRC.
On Instagram. I'll share the links with you if you want.
And. Okay.
NSVRC, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they have some really good, they're pretty much like a similar organization, but they have the different campaigns and different focuses.
Yeah, I'm going to share that in the show notes, so anybody that missed it, I'm going to share that. Because I think that's crucially important. Again, inside the holdout, especially outside the holdout, to talk about, you know, sexual assault and, you know, because I know we have, everybody has this idea, and you're somebody that's, and you're, Ansley, you're somebody that's always been vocal about it since I've known you. It's not like you're doing it for April. And I think that's a good thing because, like, you know, I like when we have these months where we have this awareness for certain things, but I feel like it doesn't just happen in April. It happens all the time, consistently, you know, literally like every 13 seconds.
Right.
So, like, shout out to Rain for that statistic, you know, every 13 seconds, a woman is sexually assaulted in the United States. So it's like, it happens very, very often. And that's something we should talk. So I appreciate you for being vocal. I appreciate you for sharing your story all the time because it's not an easy thing to do, you know?
Oh, thank you for that. It's not, I wonder why I feel so exhausted. I'm sorry. I'm glad you said that. Sometimes I don't have the vantage point to, you know what I'm saying? I'd be like, I'm so tired. And it's like, maybe because, you know what I'm saying? You can say, I don't even have the energy to dance. It's like, what's happening?
Oh, no problem. No problem. And I'm glad you bring it up. And I'm glad you're very vocal. It takes a lot of courage, first of all, but definitely is needed because you speak for a lot of people who don't, you know, again, I get it because a lot of times abusers, this is to my audience, a lot of times abusers, they just want it to go away. They just want the perpetrator, they want the actual abuse, they want it to go away. So a lot of times people are not going to tell us what happened because they just want it to go away. So when somebody comes out there and says, hey, this is what happened to me, you know, I'm telling y'all, this is what happened to me. We need to listen and take heed because you're speaking for people who we know and love, people that we work with, people that we live with, people that we raise, and they don't tell us these stories because we make them feel unsafe. You know what I'm saying? And that's the scary part because there are people that we know and love that don't tell us that because they feel unsafe, but someone that we know and also love has harmed them, you know? Oh, yeah.
Right.
It is. It is.
Yeah, it's a lot. A lot.
True indeed. True indeed.
We're going to get through it. You know. I know it. See, you're giving me hope here. Even though we're talking about this, I'm yay! Again,
to the audience, it's my fault that I didn't bring Ansley on here sooner. I suggested this a long time ago, but it's completely, totally my fault. And it's not her fault. She was always ready. Like, yo, when am I coming on? And I was like, you know, yeah, I got you. This is me. This is me. So like, yep. So.
You're a busy man.
I try.
You'd be running the book clubs and stuff.
I really try. Like, I really, really try. And then my students are finally coming back to my school. So not my capoeira school, but what I do for a living. So they're coming back. So, yeah, so there's a lot of mentoring that I do. Because my kids are getting bigger. They're like, they're becoming super independent and they're getting bigger. So I'm going to be an empty nester soon. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. So, but do you have anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to add about capoeira or otherwise?
just if you've never tried it, you should totally try it. It might change your life. It's so beautiful. And
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I be watching your capoeira stuff. I do, because I'm like, I want to play too.
I'm glad you said that, because
shit in this pandemic.
It's like a very social martial art. You know what I mean? Like, even before the pandemic, I have people,
yes,
that like, the people that live like far away, and they say, hey, what? And I'd be like, you know, watch this video, train this, train that, train this. And they'll come to class and they'll be like good at the actual movements. But when they get in the hall, they're like, what's going on? And you have to, like you said earlier, you have to be involved to learn.
Yes.
You have to like be involved with the singing and you know, the playing the instruments and the playing in the couple in the hall that to really learn it. So it's okay. Yeah, it's easy for me to keep the movements going, but it's since the pandemic, we haven't been actually doing hold on. So we're all going to be rusty. So, yep. So, So yeah. So it's been very difficult for all of us across the board. because it's very like communal and we have to train together.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, I'm an evangelical. I'm like, yeah, just try it. Just try it. Come on down. You know, just come. So it is.
It has something for everybody. Art form,
you know. You know, if you like, I have people that be like, I just want to play instruments with y'all.
Yes,
I'm cool with it. Come on down. I want to hear y'all what y'all play, and they enjoy it. Yep, yeah. And we could all pretend that we could sing. So that's the best part.
That's great. My teacher was always like, yeah, I hate when people, this is funny because he would imitate it. He's like, I hate when people come in the hood and they be singing like they're in a gospel choir. Like, bruh. He's like, most African based music forms are not so discriminatory. Like, when you go in church, you don't have, nobody's like, because you can't sing.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. So,
I just was thinking about the impersonation of people who do it.
So
it's funny.
Anything else you want to add before we close up?
Oh man!
All right. So then, what I'm gonna ask for you to do?
No,
right now,
not that
you
I can
tell
think.
The people in the audience, your social media contacts. How can they get a hold of you?
Yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter as Ansley Jukebox Joy, and that's Ansley Jukebox Jukebox Joy Joye.
Yes,
and I'm always looking to make new friends.
Yeah,
so I'll follow back.
And you also sell clothing and jewelry.
Yes, I do. It's called Jukebox Jewelry and Crochet, and that's the name on all social media accounts. And you'll just see a bunch of bracelets and lots of handmade beaded jewelry, clothing.
And
I just like to have fun. So
I'm assuming, you know, so yeah, you know, she has a per diem.
Absolutely.
She has an invoice.
Absolutely.
And she got to fly out. You know, the money got to be right, though. So just to let y'all know. When it got to be right. So, yeah. So, yeah. Same here.
I can't wait till stuff is normal.
So, all right. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you. You were dope. We're going to bring you back. We're going to talk about some other things. Definitely bring you back. But we just want to talk about capoeira first. So, thanks again. There you have it, folks, another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I appreciate y'all for listening. If you want to book me for panel discussions or workshops from anything from black male feminism to capoeira to b-boying to hip-hop culture, hit your boy up, man. Go to the website, omisbench.com, omisbench.com. All my contact information is there. If you just want to hit up the show, we do have an official Twitter page, and that's at omis podcast. That's OMIS podcast. Or you can hit me up on my personal Twitter,
at Dan Trezomi, and that's DanTresomi. Yo, go on the website and buy a coffee mug for somebody you love, man. I know your people's out there be drinking coffee or tea or whatever. Buy yourself one, man. It's a dope coffee mug with an insignia of the show. You definitely like it, man. But I love all of y'all. Thank y'all for y'all support. Thank y'all for the love. And I see y'all next time. Word.